With your host, Jeff Kowal, founder of the Kowal Investment Group, along with certified financial planner, John White. Guys, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good to see you again. Jeff, how are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you, Paul?
Doing fantastic. I know we're busy. You're busy with a lot of seminars coming up, a lot of retirement planning. So for listeners of the show, we have the weekly wealth management and preservation segment coming up. We've got the boss segment with Aaron Kowal for business owners. But Jeff, you've been putting on some seminars, one which is, I believe, full, and another one. These are complimentary, by the way. So tell us about these events.
Yeah, we've done a number of educational events recently, and they are very popular. So the fact that they're sold out, I guess, is not, and you say they're free, but again, they're full. One is our Keep Family Wealth in the Family educational event on April 25th at Revere's in Delafield. So if that one is already full, why are we telling you about it? Because you can join the wait list if you're interested, and we're going to repeat this in the future, but again, it's Keep Family Wealth in the Family educational event, April 25th, Revere in Delafield. The other event coming up is May 15th from 9 till 10:30 a.m. That's in Brookfield. The title is Medicare and Health Insurance Planning for Retirement. That's a great, very popular one. That's with Mark Maynard, who's one of our trusted partners, and Joe Still, one of the advisors on our great team. This is a free event, but you do need to register. Our space is limited. Visit The Kowal Way, that's K-O-W-A-L, thekowalway.com, and click on the events tab for additional details and to reserve your seat. We'll continue to offer free educational events throughout the year, so continue to visit that site. But again, this one is May 15th, 9 to 10:30 a.m. in Brookfield. That's Medicare and Health Insurance Planning for Retirement with Mark Maynard and Joe Still.
Both of those names are familiar to our listeners. They've been on the show. Joe Still, of course, part of the Kowal Investment Group. Mark has been on as a guest. These panels are very, very good. It's a good time to get a chance to talk up close in person. As Jeff said, go to thekowalway.com for locations and all the information, the events tab, all that good stuff. Like I said, a busy show today. So John White, kicking things off today. You get the first topic.
Right. So today's topic title is Russian Roulette and Monte Carlo. Russian Roulette. If you have a six-chamber pistol handgun, obviously what's involved here is you put one bullet in the chamber and the other five are empty. That means that should you be unlucky, in terms of probabilities, you've got a 16.67% chance of getting that bullet. Of course, if we round that up, that's 17%. Now, of course, if I were to offer you that gun and say, hey, do you want to take a chance? Most people would say, I don't like my 17% chance there. I'll skip that.
I would be on their side. Yeah. It sounds morbid to talk about this, but your point, you're a numbers guy, John, I can tell.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like my numbers. Why? So I got thinking about this the other day because I heard someone say this about Monte Carlo analysis in general. They said, well, that Monte Carlo analysis stuff, you know, I don't want to take a 17% chance that, you know, like the objection was, if I get on a plane, I don't want there to be a 17% chance that the plane's going to, fall down, right? You wouldn't take a plane or in this case, Russian roulette. You wouldn't take that kind of gamble. Why I would take a 17% chance of failure in a retirement plan? And why 17? Because 100 minus 17 is 83. 83% is where I want most of my clients' Monte Carlo scores to land. Because I find that to be the Goldilocks zone. Because if it's too high, you're being conservative. You're leaving some lifestyle on the table. You're being very conservative with your withdrawal from your investments. Maybe you're denying yourself that nice trip or that hobby that you want to take up, but the equipment and setup expense is too much and you want to forego it. Of course, we don't want it to be below 83%, hopefully, because at that point, maybe you're going to run out of money too soon. And so 17% or this statistic, the great thing about, I suppose it's not a great thing, but when it comes to Russian roulette or a 17% chance of a plane falling down, the result is catastrophic, right? It's over.
Neither
are good things. The great thing about retirement planning is the way I frame it to clients is, that 17% is outstanding. It's not catastrophic. You just make adjustments. Adjustments are all that are needed to make sure the plan works. Now, what are those adjustments? well, they could be that maybe you retire 1 year later, which I know most people don't want to work any longer than they have to, but that could be an adjustment. Another adjustment, if you're in retirement already, could be, you know what, this year we're going to take one less trip, or this year we're just going to lower our spending a little bit. Maybe the market's down and it's a challenging environment. You know, these are adjustments. It does not mean the end of the plan. And so, you know, as human beings, we have these biases when it comes to investing. One of my favorite ones to talk about is risk loss aversion. So I'll give you a quick example, Paul, and you can answer this question for me. So you have two investors. Investor one starts with $1 million. They make a 30% return on their money over 12 months, and they end up with $1.3 million. Now, you have to pick which one you'd rather be. Investor number two has $1 million. They make a 50% return from January to November. Then they lose 20% in December. And they end up with $1.3 million. Which investor would you rather
be? They're both the same result, right?
Exactly.
Well, does it matter if the results are the same?
So most people pick investor A because they don't want a loss.
Right. Even though they ended up
The thought of having a loss is just so devastating.
Well, it's psychological.
Oh, absolutely it is. And so when we do these Monte Carlo stress tests, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, let's make assumptions. Let's assume you live to, say, 95. Let's assume you're spending $6,000 a month. Let's assume we're getting a 3% inflation rate. Let's assume that you have certain investments making a certain rate of return. You're getting Social Security. Maybe you spend a little bit more in your earlier retirement years. You're spending through this money. And I tell you, you have an 83% chance of success. And there's a 17% chance, not of failure, like Russian roulette or a plane crash, but of adjustment. There's a 17% chance you might need to adjust things if we get what I call sequencing risk.
Adjusting is perfectly fine, right?
Adjusting sounds better than failure, or catastrophic failure, doesn't it?
It does, and it goes against what some people... Jeff, we've talked over the years how some people think their 401k is a set it and forget it. I'll just leave it, and as I age, it's going to go up. Well, that might be the case, but you don't want to just set it and forget it, Jeff.
No, that's true. And what one thing that John does very well is that we'll take a look at really, and he talked a little bit about human behavior. You'll take a look at how retirees, especially new retirees, tend to spend a higher amount in the early years, and then a lower amount as they age, as they get to traveling out of the way, all those things, and may spend a lower amount in later years. Those are the types of things that, even with those variables in there, not only can you adjust your plan as you go along, but you can adjust your plan as you start and say, what if we spend a higher amount in the early years and then a lower amount later on? Does that still work? So those are the types of things. And John is very good with those calculations, being a big numbers guy with a personality.
Yeah, numbers guy with a good personality.
Yeah, yeah.
And as listeners say, I love that guy's accent.
Oh, that's so nice. I mean, I think about the retirement plan with the Monte Carlo analysis. It's a living, breathing document. It's going to adapt with you as your plan changes. Maybe a health event comes up. There's all sorts of things that can throw a retirement plan off course. And we want to correct, just like that plane example, right? If you're the pilot of the plane and you're heading towards a mountain, you're going to make, hopefully, adjustments, right? You're going to adjust the plane upwards and avoid that mountain, just like we adjust the plan to make sure that you're not going to run out of assets.
Boy, your scenarios are rather catastrophic. Yeah. You could have said, like, turbulence.
Turbulence.
How to avoid that thunderstorm.
Yeah. You know, the one thing, though, that does kind of muddy the waters a little bit with Monte Carlo analysis is the client's risk tolerance. So we need to make sure this plan is in sync with the client's ability to take on risk. And that, too, is sometimes can be a lengthy conversation to try and overcome these emotional biases that we do bring to the table. Because a lot of people think there's a lot of myths, right? Oh, I'm older. I should not be saving. You know, I shouldn't be taking as much risk with my investments. Well, that's not necessarily true. In fact, you could have a lower Monte Carlo score if you have a generous pension, if you have Social Security. And you don't want to leave money to your heirs, right? Because that can happen. I've definitely got clients that are like that. Then having a lower Monte Carlo score is an okay thing, because that means you're literally spending through this money despite the monthly income streams you're getting from these from the pension from Social Security. So, Monte Carlo gets a lot of a lot of criticism about it. It's not necessarily fair. So anyone that tells you, oh, if your Monte Carlo score is 75%, would you take a 25% chance of a plane crash? That's just not accurate. It's not a correct thing to say. And more often than not, people that are saying those things are trying to sell something to you. I'm not sure exactly what products they may be, but they're trying to fear sell you because of just a really wrong understanding of what a Monte Carlo analysis is.
And the psychological side, you mentioned earlier, failure. Investors hate that word, right?
Right.
So psychologically, Jeff, I'm going to ask you this question. How does that play into your mind when you're planning your retirement, and as you get closer and closer to that magical time in your life, right? Psychologically, nobody wants to take any losses ever.
Well, nobody likes to take losses. I will agree with that statement. But if you understand that that's part of investing, and that what we try to do, and what John was referring to with our risk tolerance, is try to understand the risk tolerance that each client has separately for that. For the ability to take risk with the investments. One thing that we emphasize and stress is that for most of our clients, they want to retire once. So what you were saying is exactly right. As you approach retirement, you don't start doing the Monte Carlo calculations once you're in retirement. You start doing it well in advance so that you can see, do I retire a year early? Do I have to work 2 years later? What if I take a part-time job after retirement? This job is stressful, but I can go work somewhere else after retirement with less stress at the golf course, at a hardware store, which would give me a lot of stress. I get nosebleed when I go into a hardware store. So if I had to become a hardware consultant, I'd go nuts.
You and I are liking that. I don't think we're either like the handyman around the house, right?
No, but some guys just love that. They love the challenge of a job that somebody else is having a problem with,
yep.
And they could handle that. Nonetheless, those are the types of things we want you to retire once. John mentioned there are a lot of variables that go into it first when you do the calculation initially, and then as your life changes along the way. So it helps. It's a great tool, but you have to know how to use that tool as well.
And also, like you said, Jeff, and John, you would agree, I'm sure client of yours, everybody we meet has a different risk tolerance level. I might be staring at my iPhone at that Dow number all day, which is not a good thing. But we can really get overly, I guess, more anxiety than is necessary when we can probably, I think Aaron Kowal says it best, outsource that stress to you guys.
That's right. You there's a lot of reading involved to understand investment returns from the past and looking at the current situation, what each asset class has done. It can be very... I'll be quite candid. It could be quite boring, quite frankly. And for people that aren't wanting to devote the time and effort required to do that, that's where we come in and fill that gap and say, let us take care of this for you. Let us hopefully make this understandable to you so you can understand this is my risk tolerance. And for example, the big one is, hey, if your risk tolerance is not as high, then that means your returns are going to be lower. Well, no one wants to hear that. They want to hear, I want lots of returns with little risk. I call that unicorn land. It just doesn't exist. If someone's trying to give you 100% returns with no risk, it's a fraud. Run the other direction.
Good advice. With regard to this Monte Carlo, is it the Monte Carlo, what's it called, simulation?
Yes, Monte Carlo simulation. It runs 1,000 different sequences of returns. One range of outcomes could be nothing but double-digit returns for all of retirement. The other side could be nothing but double-digit losses for all of retirement. Most of the results fall within the first standard deviation. 68% of the outcomes happen there. And that's where that's where we play, right? Because it'd be great to get double-digit returns for all of retirement. People would like that, but I would argue that's not a good thing because that means there's something wrong with the financial markets themselves when those kind of returns are ongoing forever. Well,
that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So something would be wrong if that were to happen.
Yeah. Back to John. I know you got a lot more to say. Before this segment's over, a lot of stuff coming up with events at the Kowal Investment Group. I just send you to their website. Information, and if you've got a question for the show, the Retirement Clinic on Saturdays, call them directly, 262-522-4040, or thekowalway.com for more information.
Yeah, absolutely. And, there's so much that goes into this. talk with us. You know, let's sit down, figure out a plan together, figure out, can you retire? I've got so many clients that are about to retire, and I can just tell, like Jeff was saying, like the stress is getting to them, and they're like, I'm done. I'm really done. I want to do something else. I want to do that side hustle that I've always wanted to do for full time. I want to do something more relaxing. I'm done with the commute. Let's talk. Let's figure out, will this plan work in the face of all these different variables that we have to account for?
It might be surprising news that you didn't know. Oh, I'm that close to retirement? I can actually do this?
Yes. Yeah.
How do you know unless you do that cash flow and, right, and you analyze your plan?
That's the fun part of my job, is seeing the relief on people's faces when they've realized, oh, this works. Like, this really does work, and I can retire. And I know it's not just as simple as telling your boss, see ya, put it to paper. Let's get a documentation, a financial plan, a document, something hard that you can see and touch and edit.
Works in Hollywood. You all see in the movies where they just go and quit, right? On the spur of the moment.
Yeah, that's not reality.
That's not reality. Jeff, would you agree? It's a little bit more complicated.
Well, I was just thinking about something like that, too. When they blow up a building and walk away and nobody looks back and sees it burning, well, that's not reality either. I mean, you would want to see what you just blew up. So, you know, there are a lot of things that are not reality. And one of the things is that there's a lot of information online. There's a lot of information and data. You may even say, I've seen retirement calculators and they're all the same. They're not the same. When you talk about, John was talking about sequence of returns, and it's not just a straight line retirement and retirement return, but there's information and data online. But how do you convert that to wisdom, and how do you get that? How do you apply it to your specific situation? And that's what we do at the Coal Investment Group, especially if you have $750,000 or more and you're close to already in retirement.
Yeah, so I would definitely just echo what Jeff says. Sit down with us. Let's get you to that Goldilocks zone, as I like to call it. I just came up with that term recently because I can't think of anything better. Like, it's the ideal situation, right? It's not too conservative with your spending. It's not too lavish. You're hitting that zone where it makes sense. The plan's going to work. Now, I would caution with the Goldilocks zone analogy that each plan is different. Everyone's got different goals. It depends on if you want to leave an estate to your children. Some people do, some people don't. There's lots of wrinkles in this, but we can address all those.
Yeah, that perfect in between. It's perfect. It's just right.
Yes.
That temperature of whatever's just right is different for you than it is for me. I might like spicy hot peppers. My wife hates them, right? Makes her sweat. So it's just like anything else. A retirement, that's a great analogy that you're using. And I never heard Russian roulette described before. I heard the Monte Carlo, though.
Yeah. Same thing in dice, right? What's the chance of rolling a six? It's 16.67%.
Wow, you are a numbers guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So just some trivia for you, too.
I was, I'm going to sneak this in, Jeff, because you know me probably as good as anybody. Over the years, I've emceed events, and there was a raffle for a diamond, and there are 100 in a box. 99 were fake, one was real. They sold raffle tickets, and I drew it out, and I got to pull it out and announce the lucky winner. And it turns out, if somebody I knew, they came up, they got it. I wasn't thinking clearly. I go, congratulations, what are the odds? And without a blink in an eye, she goes, actually, they're 1 in 100. Yes, I'm the master at stating the obvious. There are 100 raffle tickets sold, 100 diamonds won, she won. There are 1 in 100. So, yeah, numbers are numbers.
Brilliant, Paul.
I am brilliant, aren't I? Lucky thing, I'm not a financial advisor for the Coal Investment Group. That's why we have guys like John White and Jeff Coal. All right, anything left in this segment before we...
No,
break.
I guess, call to action, go ahead and get this done. Don't just go, oh, yeah, I'll wing it. You know, I feel like I've got enough saved. That's not enough. You got to know the numbers. Do the homework. Talk to us. And then...
Exactly. You don't just eyeball it and say, yeah, I think I have enough. Come and see us about that. We've got 6 great locations in Brookfield, the newest one on 177th and Bluemont. In Delafield, off of Highway C in Delafield, Highway 20 and 43 in Racine. Also, there's Port Washington office, there's Phoenix, and now Cape Coral. So one of the 6 offices, if you have $750,000 or more in retirement assets, and you want to know that you can retire with comfort, we can walk you through that process and know that you can retire once.
That phone number, or you can go on the website too, thecowalway.com, 262-522-4040. John White is here. When we come back, Aaron Kowal joins us with a business update, the Business Owners Savings and Security. We call that acronym the BOSS segment. And then, Jeff, what do you got cooking later in the show?
Well, there's a retirement magic number that's out there. How much money do you really need? And this is kind of interesting because the numbers have gone up, and for some age categories, the number actually goes down. We'll talk about that.
That's coming up. The Retirement Clinic every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. with John White and Jeff Kowal. I am Paul Kronforst. We will take a quick break and come on back. News Talk 1130 WISN.
Whether you plan to retire in 5 years or 25 years, having a retirement plan is essential for any small business owner. It can seem like an overwhelming task, but here are some steps to help you get started. One, enlist the help of a financial advisor. At Kowal Investment Group, we help business owners like you outline a plan and determine what needs to be done now to achieve your retirement goals. Even if you have a plan in place, it's a good idea to review it regularly with your advisor to ensure that you are on the right track. Two, review your health and life insurance options. Once you retire, your health and life insurance coverage may change. Consider all options and be mindful of enrollment periods. Three, be sure to keep your financial records updated. As retirement approaches, it is important to have a proper valuation of your business. If you sell, you want to get a fair value. Four, create and have a succession plan in place. When you choose to step down from your business, regardless of whether you pass on the business to a relative or business partner or sell to an outside party, you need to have a succession plan for this transition. The right team of professionals will be able to help with each of these steps and more. If you're ready to start preparing for retirement from your business, or if you need to make sure you are on track, give our office a call at 262-522-4040 or visit thecowalway.com.
Thanks to Aaron Kowal with that BOSS segment for business owners. We are back with Jeff Kowal and John White from the Kowal Investment Group, the retirement specialist. Jeff, right before the break, you said, how much is enough? You know, for somebody, it might be, I need several million. Somebody else may say a million's enough. I remember years ago thinking $1 million, that's enough for anybody to retire. I don't think that's the case anymore, Jeff.
No, there are a number of different rules of thumb. 15 times your final salary. So if your final salary is $200,000, you need $3 million. That's one rule of thumb. There are other rules of thumb. This is one that Northwestern Mutual that does a survey every year. And it says, how do American adults, how much do you think American adults will need for a comfortable retirement? And that number, here's a spoiler alert, it's 1.46 million. So where do they get that from? Well, Northwestern Mutual, via the Harris poll, asked Americans in four key demographic groups to estimate what they'll need. So this is a poll. And what's kind of interesting is what is the opinion of some that some people had. Gen Z, so those born between 1997 and 2012. So those are the youngest ones. Say they'll need 1.63 million. Millennials, born between 1981 and 1996, and they are now the largest group, even more numerous than the baby boomers. They said they'll need 1.65 million. So the first group said 1.63, the youngest ones. The next one said 1.65. Gen X, which is between 1965 and 1980, just said that they'll need 1.56 million. And then the baby boomers, between 1946 and 1964, and they're now retiring at a rate of 11,000 a day, offered a more modest figure of $990,000. Data was weighted by age and gender and all that stuff. But report, while helpful in certain ways, raised eyebrows in other. It says, for example, doesn't seem odd that Gen Z crowd, despite being younger than the millennials, estimate that they'll actually need less money in the future. So millennials said they need 1.65 million. Gen Z said they'd need 1.63 million. And the article goes on and says, by way of illustrating the point, the oldest Gen Zers won't begin to retire for another 30 years. And so the last 30 years, inflation has gone up 109%, yet they think that they'll need less money than millennials. And that just doesn't seem to make sense. But really, what do you need to reach a comfortable retirement? Everybody is different. And there's a Goldman Sachs article or survey that says that women, for example, on average, women continue to earn less than men, about 21% less. So they may be more challenged, you know, even though the Northwestern Mutual study was blended and, you know, took into account age and race and other things and sex, but they said women will have less, have less opportunities to put money into retirement plans. But the article goes on, and this is an MSN article. So just a couple more things I wanted to mention about this. John, did you have any observations initially about this?
No, I guess I think it's interesting, like you said, that, you know, obviously it makes sense that the baby boomers would probably want a more modest amount, just given inflation and everything, but
How they were raised, too, boomers, right?
Right.
A generational shift in our spending habits and just the culture, totally different.
Right. And what concerns me is with this, you hear this YOLO, you only live once. And I think younger people are doing more experiences when they're younger than doing it in retirement. That's something I hear quite often about. So I'm not sure if they're really going to be the ones spending. I do know that behind everything is, there's $30 trillion of assets that are going to be shifting from the boomers to the Gen Xers to the millennials as time marches on here. So they're, because obviously the baby boomers are the wealthiest generation ever, which is a great thing, but you know, we're getting more affluent.
They're leaving
retiring.
Yeah. As Jeff, what did you say, 11,000 a day?
Yes.
Yeah, that's shocking. And also, everybody does have a different number. I saw a story that you just mentioned, John. Spring break right now, they're interviewing average college students. They just don't care about the cost. Inflation is here. The cost of meals, hotels, everything's up. Flights, they're just putting it on their credit card. They said, I'll deal with that later.
Yep, absolutely. That's that YOLO kind of mentality.
You only live once.
Yep.
But is that a good way to... If that's my daughter, I'm scolding her, you better be paying off that card at the end of the month.
Right.
Yep. Well, that's important, too. And it's just a different lifestyle. They may not take a full-time job, take part-time jobs instead of full-time jobs because you only live once. You're delaying marriage or not get married without that responsibility. So there are other things that come into play as well, especially with those... You only live once crowd. But nonetheless, there are a lot of really responsible ones that are dedicating and putting money away on a consistent basis. And one thing that we talk about is that life expectancy increases. Greater emphasis is placed on making the most of our added years. How can we age in a happier, healthier way? And new tech and services, are able to give us a more comfortable retirement. But you have to plan for it. The last thing on this is that the $1.46 million figure, again, that's an average that NML came up with, been what was intended to do, generate headlines. Now, probably, drum up at least a discussion about putting a pencil to, what do you really need in retirement? And again, goes in well with what we talked about before with John.
Everybody's got a different number for sure, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. And just kind of in line with that is that this was an interesting article. It's not listed where I got this from. I think it was from Fox Business. John Matarese is the author of this. I don't remember where I got it. Nonetheless, a great article because it says retirees are returning to work in droves, and here's why. Going back to work after you retire. It used to be when you're 65, most people put down the work and retire. But the newest trend is unretiring, with as many as 20% of older workers rejoining the labor market in their 60s and 70s. One example is Ace Hardware. A 74-year-old guy became a helpful hardware man. Again, something I would never do, but good for him. And he said after a couple of years at home, he decided retirement wasn't for him. He's always been handy. Seemed like it was perfect. It's no pressure, but it's also challenging because everybody who comes in has a challenge. Another woman from AARP said that given the tight labor market, it makes good business sense for employers to hire older workers. This I hear more and more. We have seen an increase in hiring older workers nationally. A major reason is inflation, which is battering the value of their 401k and monthly Social Security checks. This is from Carly Roskowski of AARP. She says, majority of older workers feel age discrimination can hurt their chances of getting a new job. But she says, in your resume, highlight your skills, not your age. Make sure you're highlighting your most recent experience, and you don't have to go back to your high school graduation and tell them, you know, where you graduated from, how much you made, or when you graduated. This is something that hit home with me. It says, and if you're hanging on to your old Hotmail or AOL account, better dump that for Gmail. See, I started my old AOL one, and I'm not going to part with it. I love it.
Have you just admitted you still have an AOL account?
I do. My personal account is the AOL one. And, yeah, I could change it. That's not a big deal. But you know what? I don't want to.
There's something, Jeff, you meant the older folks going back to work, I'm sure they're responsible, right, on time. They've got a whole career behind them, so I can see where that's a good hire for like a hardware store. But overall in retirement planning, Jeff, is this a stupid question? Do you've taken into account inflation, right? Is that always factored in?
Absolutely. And John, you can address that too. But yeah, we make sure that you're not going to fall behind because of inflation. That's one of the things that can, one of the major things that can derail an otherwise successful retirement plan.
Yeah, you know, with inflation since 1913, inflation's averaged 3%. What that really means is that everything that you can see with your eyeballs is going to double in price every 24 odd years or so. So you're going to see at least one doubling in your retirement, right? Assuming a 30-year, 40-year retirement, it might happen twice. Average home in 1928 was $25,000. Average home today is $400,000. You know, a dollar in 2020 has now got the same purchasing power as 83 cents. Now, that's more recent data, right? Inflation has been high over the last few years, but we definitely have to factor that in, especially healthcare. That's going to run at a higher rate of inflation.
Jeff, you can probably understand this better than anybody that's listening, but because of my love for bourbon over the weekend, two bourbons. I wouldn't say where it was because it doesn't matter. I think it's everywhere. $15 a cocktail. $15 for a glass of bourbon. And
if you're pounding down five or six of them, then you got to think about it. But if you're having one or two, then you're okay.
Yeah, I wasn't pounding five or six because I wouldn't be able to walk out. But I just look at everything. A simple drive-through. You go to Culver's, what used to be $7 or $8, is probably now $16. And everybody sees it. It's at the store. It's at the grocery store. It's at the gas pump. It's John, everything we put our eyes on. I'm looking at a pair of headphones. I'm looking at a TV. That's all gone up too.
Yep. And, you know, technology can, in the long run, make things cheaper. I thought about this the other day. I upgraded my laptop, and it's a bazillion times faster than my older one. But it actually costs less than my old one, right? So it's like, okay, I've got all this amazing technology now, much faster. It doesn't apply necessarily to everything. It depends on what we're talking about. Like education expense is always a classic one. That's 6% inflation rate at least. Healthcare, long-term care, very, very high costs. So it just depends on what market we're talking about. But in the long run, 3%, you can bank on that.
3% in the long run for inflation. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned healthcare. Jeff, how many times has that come up on this show? Planning for retirement, 65 is Medicare. But if you're thinking of leaving your job before that, you absolutely need health insurance, and it's not cheap.
And we talk with our clients about that on a regular basis. We've got a couple of trusted partners, people that we believe in and trust, to handle a lot of our health insurance. If our clients are retiring early, how do you handle that? If you're retiring at 60, you've got 5 years before you hit retirement age, how do you handle that? You have to address it because that could be a pretty pricey item.
So I think what we'll do is take a quick break on the retirement clinic. We need time for the wealth management and preservation segment. Jeff, any kind of tease you want to throw out there?
Oh, this is going to be a good one. It's hash out the inheritance now or fight your family later. And we're going to have a special emphasis on blended families. So this is going to be a good one.
And inheritance basically is a topic then, and how to not break up the family, because you hear these stories all the time, and it's kind of tragic to hear, right? Over what could have been avoided by having a proper plan in place. There's retirement planning, there's estate planning, there's tax planning, but it all kind of falls under that umbrella on this show, The Retirement Clinic, with Jeff Kowal and John White. I'm Paul Kronforst. Check out thekowalway.com. Remember, a few complimentary events coming up on the horizon. We'll tell you where, when, and how to get involved in those with the Kowal Investment Group. The Retirement Specialist. We'll be right back on ISN. Back with the Retirement Clinic on WISN. This is our weekly feature with Jeff Kowal and John White. We call it the Wealth Management and Preservation segment. And Jeff, this is a good one, and it deals with inheritance and how to keep that family together, not fighting.
That's right. This show is for everybody. This particular segment is for those with $1 million or more. And, you know, a lot of times you say, well, I don't have $1 million. But if you have $500,000 in your retirement plan, if you have a $500,000 home, if you've got other investments, other properties, you can easily be over $1 million. So this segment is for you. Once you accumulate some wealth, how do you preserve it, grow it, take income from it, and pass it on to your heirs? And that's what we specialize in at the Kowal Investment Group. This was a Wall Street Journal article, and it just caught my attention right away. Hash out the inheritance now or fight your family later. The toughest part of estate planning isn't writing the will, but talking to the family about it. Death and money aren't fun subjects to bring up over dinner, yet families who make time for the awkward chat now can spare deep regrets and potentially millions in lost dollars. And we hear about it all the time, and John, you can attest to this. It doesn't matter if it's $10,000 or $10 million involved. If there's money on the table, people get emotional about it. And we're surprised sometimes when we see it for, you know, you would think that it's a wonderful family, they get along great, maybe not so much behind the scenes, especially when there's money involved. More than $84 trillion in wealth has been or set to be transferred by estates, big and small, between 2021 and 2021 and 2045, according to Cerulli Associates. So it's about 25 years. That wave of inheritance has brought a rise in lawsuits and other conflicts over family inheritances. Now I'm going to get down to some of these, what I thought were interesting. One third of Americans say they don't plan to have the inheritance talk with their family. Shock and uncertainty doesn't bode well for heirs. That's according to Caitlin DeMillo, a client advisor at Spinnaker Trust in Portland, Maine. It's important for heirs to hear when all those involved can sit at a table. You know, do you have, you know, a responsibility to tell your kids what they're going to get? Maybe, maybe not. I think that, you know, you don't want to regret. You want to have, you know, in this case, one real estate broker regret not talking to his mother about her will. He's still stewing about it a decade over her after her death. Three daughters, she wanted to have them to have the family diamond rings, but didn't put in writing. The will left everything to her second husband. That's where the blended families come in.
Yep.
You know, show us the document. Blended families are a growing source of conflict in state fights. It is especially important for them to talk about wealth transfer. This is not a one-and-done conversation. Family dynamics are constantly changing, and you can't count on the new spouse to take care of your kids from your first marriage. Now, you can set up a trust and provisions in your will and title accounts differently, but again, that's a discussion that you have to have. And you think that it'll just, I'll just do it as a beneficiary designation. A lot of times you can't do that. And John, you may have some experience in that, where your adult children and parents will have, agreed on things, but yet you want to make sure that money doesn't go to unintended beneficiaries.
Yeah, you definitely want to sit down as a family, figure out who's getting what, have very candid conversations. Communication is the key word. Especially with blended families, like Jeff mentioned before, make sure it's all done in writing, that basically the beneficiaries know what to expect, where the estate planning documents are, like where they can be found, you know, and update the family as any changes happen, because I've seen powers of attorney change last minute. Things do change constantly, especially if there's a diminishing mental or cognitive capacity from the parents. You know, it's something that just has to be heavily watched and updated.
Yeah, a couple things that, you know, you think, sometimes parents will think, well, I'll give it to the oldest kid and they'll distribute it among the rest of the family. Not always the case. There could be huge tax implications for that, especially if it involves retirement plans, the ability to stretch over 10 years. So those are some things that you think, you know, mom knows that I'll take care of everything. Well, you might not be able to. Again, for tax reasons, or you know, there may be something, you may give it to one person in particular and trust them to spread it out over the rest of the family, and that one particular person may be going through a divorce, maybe having financial troubles of their own, so even though he told mom, yeah, I'll take care of it, they can't for whatever reason. They have to be very careful with those. The article says, again, Wall Street Journal, this is a conversation, not a confrontation. And they say Thanksgiving dinner with attendance tensions is not the best choice for many families. And I agree with that. The families who live far apart, you know, sometimes they don't have a choice. But trying to get together in a family, you know, at a time like that, you know, it could be a difficult time to confront people at Christmas time or Thanksgiving or things like that.
Oh, it's absolutely, I think, the worst idea you can do, right?
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, you love each other. You want to get together and share that love. And
right.
Sometimes if there is, and not that it would always be an uncomfortable conversation, but it might be. So, you know, there are ways to go about this. And, you know, especially when you're talking about planning for parents who haven't done anything, you know, I could go to my parents and say, I've taken care of my wills and trusts. My things are all cleaned up. Have you updated yours recently? So it's a way to enter that conversation. Another way is to avoid surprises. Give heirs all or part of their inheritance while you're living. Sometimes that's not a good way to do it, especially for tax purposes. But sometimes you want to show them that you love them while you're still alive, and that may be a way to do it.
Yeah, you've talked with estate planning attorneys on this show dozens of times over the last several decades, Jeff. And how many Americans don't have an estate plan? Way over 50%, right?
Sure. And they think that by telling somebody, well, it'll just be taken care of, and we'll get it done with a handshake, or everybody knows what it's going to be. That's not the case. You have to reduce it to writing, and that's very, especially if you have charitable bequests or you have a second family, or, you know, a difference in income between kids and that. So,
yep.
Yeah, you know, give it careful thought.
Yep, and helpful reminders. I liked how you eased into that conversation without being confrontational. Just, hey, you know, mom and dad, we got the papers in order. How about you guys? And it's a good way to kind of break the ice. Some families are closer than others and communicate better. Some don't even live in the same state and they don't see each other. So every dynamic is different for sure. Jeff, after the break, we'll come back. That was a great wealth management and preservation segment with John White and Jeff Kowal. The Retirement Clinic has some news for you on some complimentary events coming up that are very well attended. In one case, it's full, but the other one is in May, and we'll tell you about both of them, how you can get involved. The Kowal Way has a lot more information, and for questions here in WISN, call the Kowal Investment Group at 262-522-4040. We'll be right back. As we wrap up today's Retirement Clinic, first off, we're on every Saturday at 10 a.m. with Jeff Kowal and John White hosting the show today. Jeff, some of these events coming up. One is very popular. It's pretty much full, but I can put my name on the waiting list.
That's right. Well, they've all been very popular lately, so I think we're hitting the proper note with our clients and people who want to think about working with the Kowal Investment Group. One is April 25th at Revere's in Delafield. That was one that is full. It's titled Keep Family Wealth in the Family, just what we were talking about now in the wealth management and preservation segment. How do you keep family wealth in the family? That's April 25th. You can join the wait list if you're interested in attending. The other one is May 15th. That's going to be very well attended as well. Medicare and health insurance planning. It's from 9 o'clock to 10:30 a.m. in Brookfield. Medicare and health insurance planning for retirement with Mark Maynard, the trusted partner, and Joe Still from our office. Free event, but you do need to register as space is limited. Visit thekowalway.com. Click the events tab for additional details and reserve your seat. Again, we go to thecoalway.com.
You've got the new Blue Mountain Road in Brookfield location. You're in Delafield, Port Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, Racine. You've got Cape Coral, Florida. You've got Zoom meetings. You've got your website, thecoalway.com. John White, am I missing anything?
No, just make sure to talk to us and get our return plan going.
Yep, the phone works too.
Right.
You talked sure about technology is a wonderful thing. Sometimes the old fat, just pick up the phone and give them a call. With any retirement question, 262-522-4040. Jeff, Monday through Friday, those market updates done by you and your staff. Thank you for all your hard work.
Daily market reports, yep. And those are things that I have to remind you to give us a call. So you hear those reports, give our office a call and schedule your complimentary retirement review.
Thanks, guys. Jeff, have a good weekend. Appreciate
you. Thanks, you too.
John White? Always a pleasure having you in studio.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Back next Saturday, 10 o'clock each week for the Retirement Clinic with the Coalway Investment Group, the retirement specialist, right here on WISN.